This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. We thank you for joining us and count it a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening, and we trust the broadcast will be a blessing and a help to you. And I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Father, as we bow before you, we come to you in a name above every name. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, Lord. Thank you for letting us be here on the radio one more time. I pray today, Father, that you'd have your will and your way. Bless each and every one of the listeners. Lord, I pray that you'd lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, brethren, let me make just a few quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. We'd like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes, one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, and one in Romania. We sure appreciate what the Lord is doing in these homes. If you would continue to pray for our missionaries, those in Romania, Bulgaria, the Ukraine, and all around the world, especially those in the Ukraine right now facing all of this war and everything. Seems like we'll hear a few things about it and then it'll quieten down, but still going on, and they need our prayers. And we got some information from them the other day, and souls are seeking after God. They're in so much turmoil, and the Lord is using this right now. As bad as it is, he's using it. People are turning to the Lord, and we're grateful for that. So if you would, you continue to pray for God's will to be done in whatever shape, form, or fashion that it is, and we'd greatly appreciate it. But anyway, I want to give you our mailing addresses this week. I want to ask you to write us. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And here now we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church, and we trust it'll be a blessing. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn this morning real quickly back to Psalms 119. And for some of you, don't worry, I'm not going to preach y'all Psalms 119 for the next 22 services like I did in the past. Literally. But I'll probably spend another one or two here. And I want to look at a few things. Thursday night, I preached out of the first 8 verses. This morning, I want to read just for a little bit. I want to tie about 3 of these together if I can, if the Lord allows and time allows and all of that. But I want you to listen to this. This will help you. This is a blessing. And starting in verse 9, it said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With thy lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. Verse 17 says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath under thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I hid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame, and I will run the way of thy commandments, which thou hast enlarged my heart. I want to look at this for a little while this morning. Ever since Thursday, I left here, and I've been preaching ever since. Whether I'm mowing, whether I'm working around here, whether I'm sitting at the house or whatever, I've been preaching ever since. I've had this on my heart, and I don't know if you ever feel like that, but so I've been preaching for two or three days so y'all can handle 20 or 30 minutes here. And I got two or three days worth that I'm going to try to give you. And I hate doing that. I mean, in one sense, because I think of so many things as the hours and time. I wake up during the middle of the night thinking about these things. And I think, well, I need to make sure I don't forget that. But I've got this old brain right here, and there's so many things I'm going to forget. But I'd like to, if you'd pray for me for a few minutes, talk to you about some of these things. I started on this probably last Sunday, to be honest, when I was reading this and talked about Daniel a little bit, and thinking that it's a possibility that Daniel may have wrote this. I don't know that. I can't prove it. I can't disprove it. There's several that has said could have possibly wrote this. I'd never even considered Daniel until I began to look at these verses right here. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereunto unto his word. But Daniel was in captivity. I'm not going to go back and talk about all that, but I do want to talk about these three Hebrew words that are in here. And as I said Thursday night, and I said it before, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I know nothing about Hebrew, to be honest about it. But I got to looking at this some time back. And the first one that I want to look at, if you'll look in your Bible, most Bibles have this. Sammy informed me that his Bible does not have it, so yours may not also. But in my Bible, it says above verse 9, it says bet. That's a Hebrew word. That's the second Hebrew word. And then in verse 17 above it, it says gamil. That, as I said, that's another. Actually, I say Hebrew word. It's not a word. It's a letter. It's the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 of these through here. This is the Hebrew alphabet. And then above verse 25 is daleth. I want to touch on those three words this morning, and kindly in their context. This word bet, if you'll look at it, it's a house. It's a type of a house. And if you'll notice something about this house, it's got a roof on it, it's got a floor in it, and it's got a wall. But what I want to really call your attention to, it's got an open door, thank God. And I appreciate that. Now I want to say this, most of us think about a house as a place that we live in. But I want to say this, talking about this house, this is an entrance. Actually, if you'll notice, if you'll read this again, I won't read it. But if you'll notice some things through these eight verses, from verse 9 to verse 16, it talks about time and time again about ways. This is access. It's an entrance into the ways of God. And I want to mention this to you. God has got somewhere that, let me say, you start out somewhere, and God has got somewhere He wants you to wind up. I mean, that's just the way it is. But this is an entrance. It's a wide open door. It's an entrance to the provisions of God. It's an entrance to God's help. It's an entrance to God's journey. I mean, it's an entrance to God's ways. I mean, it's an entrance to His outcome, not our outcome. I noticed when I was looking at this the other day, I got to thinking about something. This hit me strange. I've never seen it before, but it hit me strange. I got to thinking about the children of Israel. The last two words in the book of Genesis, you'll find out where the children of Israel are. And I'm talking about where God wants you to be. You'll find out it says they are in Egypt. You'll come over to the next book in Exodus. The last two words in the book of Exodus, you'll find out they are in their journeys.
And then you go over to the book of Leviticus and you find out where they're at there. They're at Mount Sinai. And then you'll come over to the book of Numbers. And the last two words in the book of Numbers, they're in the region of Jericho. And then you come over to the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy. You'll find out God has got them where he wanted them all the time. The Bible said they're in Israel. Thank God he brought them from Israel. I mean, and took them all the way. I mean, he took them from Egypt all the way into Israel. He took them to the promised land, to the place he wanted them to be. That's the way our life is. I mean, this young man is asking, how can I find out the ways of God? And so that's how he wants it to go. That's how he wants us to be, thank God. And so there's an open door. There's an entrance. If you're sitting here this morning, you may be like the children of Israel. You're down in Egypt this morning. That's what Ben was talking about. You may be in captivity of your sin, but God has something for you. There's an open door. That's the first step. That's the first step of the provisions, the protection, the plan of God is going through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Thereby, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find green pastures. If you want to know what God's got for you, the first thing you have to do is come to Jesus. Let me, Terry was talking about this in Sunday school. He was talking about being humble. And that's what this third word means. I'll get to that in a little bit. But what I want to say about that is this. The way that Israel got out of Egypt was by being humble. The way out was they began to cry out to God. That was the first step. They began to cry out to God. And the next step was God began to hear and answer. Now that brings us to where I really want to get down here and preach. I mentioned just a little bit about this the other night, Thursday night. This next word is Gamil. And I preached this some time back, I believe back in, I didn't know this till the other day, somebody sent me a text. I believe it's back in 22 that I preached these 22 words. And but anyway, Gamil means camel. That is the provisions of God. But I got to studying this even more, and I found it in the scriptures. It means more than that. Now, let me say this real quickly. Talking about this word Gamil. It's a rich man running after a poor man. And he's running after him to give him those provisions. This is a man in need. The poor man is a man in need, and he needs something. Yeah. And this is a strange situation, because you really don't find that too much here on the earth, that a rich man is pursuing a poor man to supply his needs. But I read that in the scriptures, for our God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now the best, I just got to reading some of these things and I got to thinking about this. The best example that I have in the Bible for this situation would be over in Genesis chapter 24, where the Bible said that Abraham called his eldest servant to go out and to find a bride for his son Isaac. Now, it said this in chapter 24 and verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels, and I'm talking about this Gamil as a type of camel. Amen. And he took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. He's pretty rich, isn't he? Amen. I mean, he had everything that Abraham had. At his access, he loaded those 10 camels on there and he went looking for somebody that did not have anything. He went looking for a bride for Abraham's son Isaac, and he goes out there and he went to a place called Nahor, a city called Nahor. Let me rephrase that. That is not what it says. It says the city of Nahor. And what that is Ur of Chaldeans. that is, Nahor is his relative. That's where he lived. He was in Ur. He went back to that place. And let me say, as this servant goes, he goes down to that place and he begins to call on the Lord. And he said, if you've made this journey prosperous, and he starts talking about somebody coming and drawing water. And he said, if this is the one, let her give water to me, but also the camels. But then I want you to notice what happens. As soon as he begins to communicate with Rebekah, and she receives anything that he's saying. See, some people come to church and they just block it all out. But she showed interest in it. She showed interest in this man and what he had to say, who he was. You might be here and you might have just a little bit of interest in what's going on. But I want to say this. As soon as he seen her, I never really looked at this till I was reading it yesterday. And I'm talking about a rich man running after a poor man. The Bible said in Genesis 24 and verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her. that servant, here she was. Now, she was just a poor girl down in Ur of Chaldeas, this ungodly country. And, she might not even have been a bad person. But she just didn't know anything about Abraham. She didn't know anything about that promised land. She didn't know anything much at all. But all of a sudden, here's a man. He looked like he is loaded down with riches. And he's running after her. Amen. He's seen her and began to run after her. And he said, and let me pray thee, give me a little drink of water in the pitcher. And she was willing to acknowledge him. You know, the first thing that he done nothing else takes place other than she gives him water and the camels water. There's nothing else taking place here. And this is what he done. I'm talking about a rich man and running after somebody that is poor and needy. Now, I'm not here preaching Joel Osteen this morning. You forget that business. But I'll tell you what he done. The Bible said he took a half of a shekel of an earring and placed it on her face. He ran after and he's trying to overtake her. See, what I'm trying to say is you may be poor and needy here and you might not know what to do. Just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll overtake you. And then he took 10 shekels, the weight of gold, and placed it on her. Now, I've read that several times. I'm trying to find out if each bracelet weighed 10 shekels or both of them combined. I really can't find that in the scripture that explains it to me. But either way, at a minimal, he put on her wrist, at a minimal, about $5,000. And he just met her. I'm trying to talk to you about, oh, Lord God, a rich man looking for you. You sitting here lost and undone. And it's not that you're seeking after God. He's running towards you. He's trying to overtake you with the good love of God and the grace of God. He's trying to make you, though he was rich, he became poor that we might be made rich. Oh, Lord God, he's trying to overtake you with just the goodness of God. He running towards you. You wasn't seeking. Somebody said it, Jimmy said it this morning. I wasn't seeking him. Oh, but he is seeking you, Jimmy. You might not have been running to him. In fact, I've heard your testimony time and time again. Jimmy says, he said, I started to stand up, but he said, they'll laugh at me. And he'd hold on to the pew and sit down. But that didn't stop the Holy Ghost from running toward Jimmy. It didn't stop him from running toward you. He wants to overtake you. He's wanting to provide for you, thank God. You don't have anything to give him, but he's got everything to give you. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought of another situation here. You remember over in Luke chapter 15, where there's a prodigal, Well, let me back up here. I'm going to get ahead of myself just a little bit. See, we're talking about he laid on her gold, give her bracelets, earrings. But I'm about to skip the best thing. All through the journey, you'll find out that he's given her things. She says, I'll go with you. And she got on that camel. And she started back to that land. See, I'm talking about Israel started out in Egypt, but then wound up where in Israel. She started out Ur of Chaldeans and wound up where Isaac was, over in that promised land. That's the journey we're on. Now let me say this. During that journey, there's a lot of good things given to her, I'm sure. But the best thing I can find, the Bible said in Genesis 24 and verse 67, when they pulled into the land and she seen somebody coming toward them, and she asked that elder, that servant, said, who is this? He said, that's my master's son. That's him right there. Bible said she veiled herself. And she got off that camel. Boy, when she went up there. But you want me to show you the best thing, the richest thing in this? The Bible said in verse 67, and he loved her. Oh, Lord God. I'm talking about he's running after you. Not like this crowd preaches that he's going to beat you up and kill your dog. No, he's wanting to love you. Thank God. He's not trying to wreck your vehicle or anything else to get you right. He's trying to get you to a place. He wanting to love on you, thank God. Said, this has been a good journey. Lord, you put things on me. You've blessed me all the way. But Lord God, I never thought it'd be like this. I never thought I'd have anybody to love me like this. I never really thought I'd have anybody when I was down there in the Ur of Chaldeans that would ever love me. But thank God you brought me out of there, and I've got the lover of my soul. I've got somebody that's with me all the time. The Bible said he took her into that tent. He knew her, and the Bible said he was comforted. I'm glad we've got the God of all comfort. Hallelujah. See, he ain't here this morning to do you ill. He's running after you, to bless you, to overcome you. Yeah. Say, how do I get that? Well, the next word, and I'm just trying to hurry. I don't know what time it is. It's 12 o'clock. Lord, I got all kinds of time. See, after reason verse 17 starts out, when it's talking about this camel and this man running after, said, deal bountifully with me. That's the only way the Lord wants to deal with you, is bountifully. And the only way you don't receive that is to reject him. But if you'll let him, he'll deal bountifully with you. He wants to deal with you that way. He wants to love on you. He wants, Lord God, he wants you to come to the house of God, or just get in your word, get in a prayer closet or whatever. You'll never come out the same. He'll always put something on you. Lord, I wanted to come and preach this for days. I want to tell you how good God is. I want these youngins to know that God has got more than the world's got. I want them to know he'll be better to you than they'll be better. They're lying, but he'll be good to you. In fact, this whole crowd's lied on God. They've lied on him. He's running to you to help you. Say, how do I get that? Well, this next word, Doleth, is a person in need. There's the qualification. And if you look at it, I tried to describe it a little bit the other night. I'm not good at describing these, but these letters has a... they tell me that that's a man bending over. He has humbled himself. He realized that God is his only help. He's the only resource. He's the only one you can depend on. He's the only one I need. Thank God. And when he humbled himself, he was overtaken by the blessings of God. Best thing ever happened to me was when I bowed before the Lord. Amen. That's how I said this earlier. That's how the children of Israel got out of Egypt. I mean, there's a Pharaoh down there that knew not Joseph. And I mean, it got bitter. This whole world will get bitter. This life will get bitter. Yeah. But you can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and wait on him right there. He's running towards you. And I didn't skip the prodigal. But I want to say this, that prodigal, I mean, he even got himself in a mess. He decided, I'm going to do this. I'm going to back up. I'm not going to. Lord God, Lord reminded me, I'm going to tell you about the prodigal minute. Here he was. And most of this crowd, well, he got what he deserved. And I mean, well, that's right. The Bible said, if you sow unto the flesh, you shall the flesh reap corruption. Yeah. And if you sow unto the Spirit, you shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Yeah. Well, I ain't packing that off on God because I sowed to the flesh. I'm reaping what I done. God didn't do that to me. Quit packing it off on God because of the situation you're in. Best thing you can do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he'll run towards you. Say, well, they don't deserve it. We'll talk to the prodigal about it because he had done went down there and wasted all of his goods on riotous living and done everything like that. And I mean, I can't preach all of his sins. I don't know all the sins, but I know this. The Bible said he would have fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. But he came to himself. And he said, in my Father's house. Hallelujah. In my Father's house. There's enough in my Father's house. Boy, I remember how rich my father was. You know what he done? He headed home. And you know what the father done? As soon as he seen him, here he is. Here the father is running. Here he took off again. Lord God, same spirit that Eliezer, that eldest servant had. I believe, in fact, they is just the same kindred spirit. He said, that's my boy there. Amen. Now, the last thing you find out about Rebecca, the Bible said he loved her. But I want to say this about the prodigal. That's the first thing you found out about him. He run up to him. And immediately, he didn't put nothing on him, but he fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what? I believe he said, my father still loves me. I don't care where you've been, what you've been through, how far out there you've been. He still loves you. He still loves you this morning. Thank God. I don't know about you, but that means a whole lot to me because I've been sorry as hell. I ain't been no good, but he still loves me. And just now and then, he'll come by and kiss me, thank God. Say, he don't deserve it. Well, it belongs to the Father. He can do with it what he wants to. Then the next verse you'll find out that old boy says, Father, forgive me. He already had forgiven him. And he looks to the rest of the crowd. He said, I want you to go over where the riches are. And I want you to bring them over and give them to this boy. Go over there in the coat closet and get the best one.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.